Hey, everybody. Dave Hodges here. I'm the host of The Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. And we're coming to you live from the Noble Gold Studios. And hey, let Noble Gold protect you from what the banks can do to you under Dodd-Frank. Let Noble Gold help you invest wisely. And they're the best people I've ever dealt with. No call centers, no pressure. You close your own deal. Go to DaveHodgesGold.com, DaveHodgesGold.com, and I'll send you out a free information packet. Our guest in this segment is Jeff Greer, and he is the president and managing partner for WGSO Radio in New Orleans. And he's been doing this stuff since 1999, got a good history. He's interviewed presidents and speakers of the House, and the background he possesses is phenomenal. He seems to be everywhere all at once. He's got his own dish network. It's incredible. I just, like I said, but I don't want to waste a lot of time because our time is short going through the extensive resume because that could take up the whole show. But what we're going to talk about here is something that I'm impatient about, and I have raised this issue myself to some degree because it reminds me of Ken Lay of, well, you know that story with Ken Lay, right? Okay. I don't want to go into that here, but I'm not trusting what we've been told about Epstein, and neither is our guest. And so I want to welcome you to the show, first time appearance on the Common Sense Show. And I got to tell you, you've been saying what I think a lot of people are thinking with regard to the Epstein situation. And so let's just jump right into that. What are your concerns and what have you found?
Well, Dave, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure being on your program. So, yeah, as you've outlined, I've been doing this a long time, been observing, commenting on politics for decades. And it just doesn't smell right to me, the whole Epstein so-called suicide. You look at the particular prison he was in, we have to believe that his cellmate was moved out the day before, that the cameras weren't working, that the guards fell asleep. We have to believe that the injuries that were sustained to his neck were highly unusual for suicide, according to renowned forensic pathologist, Dr. Michael Bodden. And we have to trust the word of our government officials who tell us, oh, they looked into it. It was a suicide. Some people that knew him well, his brother says it was not a suicide. His lawyers say it was not a suicide. So I have always questioned it ever since August of 2019 when we were told that this happened. And I was hoping under the Trump administration, we would get disclosure, we would get truth. And I think they've made progress on some issues, definitely. And I think overall, he's doing a very good job. Mm-hmm. But on this issue, I have to say I'm very disappointed, Dave.
Yeah, I think a lot of us are really impatient. I see a lot of chatter on X about show us the list. And if you were to speculate, is it because who might be on the list is the reason we're not getting the truth?
Definitely. 100%. I mean, let's just look at it. We were told we would get the list. We were told the files were on her desk, the Attorney General, Pam Bondi. Then when they released a folder with recycled information, she said, oh, well, they didn't give her all the information. And then supposedly a truckload of information was delivered to her office the next morning. And then 1,000 agents were working 24/7 on this, trying to get to all the information so it could be released to the public. Well, we're 2.5 months later, 3 months later, and Dave, we've gotten no additional information. Kash Patel, when John Kennedy, our senator, questioned him, said they're working on it. Said they're working on it. So what takes this long, Dave? I don't know. If you've got 1,000 people working on this into the wee hours of the night, what is the deal here? People aren't looking for videos to be released. We don't want any of that pornographic material release. We want the files, the names, the people that were involved in this. That's what the American people are looking for.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for too. And quite frankly, I'm less concerned about who's on the list that full disclosure and justice gets done because that's what we were promised in the campaign. And now we have a glaring exception to that. You know, I'm going to speculate here. And listen, I have no proof, but You know that Jeffrey Epstein had to have a lot of dead man switches around the planet, that his death would trigger any number of things to be disclosed. And that was the protection he'd have against assassination. And I went through this with Ken Lay and Enron, and I won't go into the detail, but we never believe Ken Lay committed suicide for the same kind of reasons. And in fact, Ken Lay even joked with us on a conference call, we all better have our dead man switches in play because we were violating the government's Invention Act of 1951, coming out with some new technology, and they didn't want that, and that they took him down, and they invented all those charges. And I've seen this game played before, and I'm just wondering too, is Epstein even dead? Did they dare kill him? And the dead man switches would have been triggered. I mean, and some people have speculated this. Are you confident he's dead? The argument is in how he died.
I'm not 100% confident in anything, knowing the lies we've been told for years. I would assume he is dead, but I wouldn't go to the bank on that, Dave. I wouldn't discount people that have other beliefs. I mean, look at what we've been lied to about for decades by our US government. So, can we trust government officials when they say anything to us? I mean, of course not. Just look at all the lies we were fed during COVID. So I would say that my belief is he's probably dead. He is dead, but I do not believe that his death was self-inflicted. I do believe that he was murdered, and I do believe it was done by a very sophisticated operation. So the experts telling us he died of suicide, then why not release the files? Why has there been such a delay? What is the holdup? I mean, the longer this goes on, the more questions are going to be, Dave.
You know, one of my things I've done in my past, I've taught statistics. I've written two courses in it. And so I deal in probabilities. And the cameras go down. Okay, that's one coincidence. Now his roommates moved. Coincidence. I mean, the coincidences start piling up to where the probabilities actually tend to defy the official explanation, which I think is a very weak cover story. My reaction, Jeff, was, is this the best you can do?
Here's my question, Dave. When are we going to get the 911 call? Why hasn't that been released? The brother's been asking for that. Why hasn't that been released? So, I mean, the employees that were supposedly asleep on the job were not criminally prosecuted. Why not? Why were deals cut with these people so that they were not prosecuted? What really is behind all this? Why would you leave the most notorious prisoner that you have in the prison, in a cell by himself, without cameras, without guards, and expect everything's going to be fine? So, I've been doubting this, and most of the people on my show that are the call in that are our listeners, they believe the same thing. They just don't buy it. And then the question is, why the cover up from administration to administration, Dave?
Well, what this is what I was going to ask you next, and I'll answer this question almost rhetorically. It's who's on the list, and it seems to cross party lines because neither party wants to disclose, and both have had the chance. So that would be my top guess if he's indeed dead. It's who else is implicated in this? In fact, I'm sitting on a story right now, and I don't know where it's going to go. 12 senators have been discovered to have offshore accounts paid to by foreign governments, which is a total violation of the Hatch Act, the way it was explained to me. And eight of them are Republicans. So we'll never see the list. And so I'm kind of thinking the same thing here. I mean, what do you think?
Well, I think you're right. I think it's both parties. I think it's people that are powerful and connected that have been probably associates of Jeffrey Epstein for decades. We know Donald Trump kicked him out of Mar-a-Lago. So I don't think you have a Donald Trump connection there. But of course, you had a Bill Clinton connection. Who knows how many times I've heard different numbers that he was on the plane, down on the island, been conflicting information about that. Prince Andrew, of course, has been identified. And then you weave into this whole story the death another mysterious death of Virginia Giuffre, who is the most prominent of the whistleblowers, the most prominent of the victims who have come forward and pointed fingers at Epstein and Prince Andrew and exposed this tragedy. And then we're to believe that also she committed suicide, even though her dad says no, her lawyer says no, and she said no.
Back she in said a post, no, yes.
A post that she made a few years before she died that, hey, if there's a report that she committed suicide, don't believe it. So another mysterious death in the case, Dave, raising more questions.
It is very, very, very disturbing at her death. In fact, I made the analogy. She's kind of the Jack Ruby of the Epstein case. She'd been in a position to see a lot and know a lot, just like Jack Ruby. And what does he go into the county hospital with pneumonia and dies of cancer? So, you know, it just, this stuff never ends and you really can't trust. But I'm so disappointed because this was going to be the administration of transparency. And to a large extent, they have. I want to try to bootstrap something here, and maybe it's a wrong move, but I find it interesting and coincidental that the Diddy situation is going on right off the heels of this. Are the two related in any way? Have you found any connections other than children were victimized and people were criminalized?
I mean, I think there are some connections. One, you're talking about very sick people, Epstein and Diddy. Two, I think they were involved with children, so they were involved in criminal behavior. Three, they had prominent people that were involved with them at their events as part of their network. And I think what you're finding out with Diddy is that, you know, he was extremely violent, committed violent crimes, as well as all these other sex crimes that he committed, drug offenses galore. And yeah, he held power over people that were prominent. And who knows what kind of tapes he used to blackmail them. I hear a lot of these freak-offs were taped. So we need to get into, you know, more of this, I guess, as this is exposed even more and more. But I think there are definitely connections of powerful people that are compromised, that these individuals held information over them, and it created more power for them. And and thankfully, P. Diddy is now where he should be in prison, and hopefully he'll be convicted. I'm not pleased, though, Dave. I will tell you that one of the prosecutors is the daughter of James Comey. So that doesn't give me a lot of confidence, because I'm not a fan, Dave, of James Comey.
Yeah. Mr. 4786. Yeah, I agree. The Diddy situation, I'm going to tell you what this takes me back in the mind of. Back in my early days of radio, my mentor, ex-CIA Bill Pollack, the late Bill Pollack, he set me up with an interview with a guy named Nick Bryan, who wrote a book called The Franklin Scandal. And I thought it was well documented. And they talked about how they would bring new Congress people to parties and they would film them in compromising positions. And even if they weren't doing anything wrong, it was made to look like they could have been doing something wrong. So the release of the information would have compromised their political future. And this is how they were controlled on key votes like Obamacare and things like this. And I'm just wondering if Diddy's mission wasn't this in terms of controlling Hollywood and the virtue signaling and the control of public opinion, developing groupthink in the public, whatever. And then, of course, we've got the Epstein situation, which would be high-profile blackmail. Have you looked into that at all? Do you think that there's high-profile blackmail going on that they can't let out?
I mean, I think there very well could be, and I think you raise a good point. And you know who it also reminds me of is a guy named Madison Cawthorn, who was a young man in Congress. He was in a wheelchair, young Republican, served from North Carolina, talked about these unsavory parties, talked about how these members of Congress were put in compromising positions and how they were controlled. After he makes these comments, he's sort of shunned by the party. He develops a competitor in his primary, and then he loses his reelection. He gets shunned. But I bet you what he was telling was the truth about what goes on in Washington, D.C. And I think if the public knew what was really going on in Washington, D.C., they would be absolutely appalled by the behind the scenes maneuvering and influence peddling that is happening. That's why we don't get anything done. I mean, that's why they never solve anything. That's why they always seem to be, kicking the can down the road. The powers that be, I don't think, want to solve anything. That's why they serve them. They don't serve us, the American people, their constituents. So we're last on their list. Special interests, of course, lobbyists, donors, they're at the top, and we, the people, are at the bottom.
Well, Comer had the Biden family dead to right. I watched enough of those interviews and presentations by Comer, and if he had a tenth of what he said he had and what he showed to Congress, Biden's people would have been going to prison before the end of the term. But it just never happens. And you're right; they kick the can
Well,
down the road. I think what they do is they want to make it look like they're doing something, hoping the public will forget.
Dave, this goes back. I mean, look at what happened during the Obama regime. You had Fast and Furious, major scandal, nothing happened. You had the Lois Lerner scandal, I mean, with IRS going after Tea Party groups, nothing happened. You had Benghazi. I mean, that was a whole can of worms, lies, deceit, corruption, terrorism. That didn't go anywhere. So Republicans are great at, hearings and going on TV and saying what they're going to do. But as far as holding the Democrats to account and charging them, no, they none of the people that were behind all the Trump Russia collusion nonsense have ever been held to account.
Yeah,
So.
that is absolutely stunning that they have not been. And you would think that Trump would be highly motivated to follow through with that since he was the chief victim. And it just makes no sense that he sits on this. Trump did have one connection with the Epstein case, though. And I can't remember the judge's name for the life of me, but there was a judge that originally ruled against Epstein, and he ends up in a position in the government appointed by Trump. Sometime later, and his name jumps out of my head. That's really the only connection we have, and I don't think Trump was involved, but
Right.
I think enough prominent Republicans are involved. This is why they're not. That's the
So
only thing that makes any sense to me.
I think when Epstein got his sweetheart deal initially, that guy later, Alex Acosta, I think his name was later appointed labor secretary
That's right.
by the first Trump administration. And then after this whole thing got more exposure and more heat, I think he resigned. But yeah, he certainly should have never been appointed because he cut a special deal with Jeffrey Epstein. And I mean, I think he was serving like home confinement, and it was a little slap on the wrist for a guy who was involved in horrible, horrible crimes. And we're talking about children, we're talking about even trafficking here. These are serious, serious offenses that talk about major penalties, and he was given home confinement. So I mean, yeah, it was
I
a
know.
disaster. Yeah.
I mean, stuff that would have sent you and I to prison for the rest of our lives
Exactly.
with the number of.
Exactly.
I totally agree with you. But when I look at this and I turn the coin over, so maybe we have blackmail on one side with regard to behavior or perceived behavior, and we turn that coin over. I want to know how Amy Klobuchar is $40,000 in debt when she comes into the Senate with a bad credit rating, and now she's one of the richest women in America. So is it blackmail on one side of the coin and bribery on the other? Have you looked at that at all?
Well, I know that these members of Congress go in poor and end up rich. Nancy Pelosi, I mean, all these, I mean, AOC, Jasmine Crockett, they're all millionaires. And you have to question, why are they allowing these members of Congress to do stock trades? I mean, all of that should be illegal. I mean, all of that should be disallowed. I mean, they go in there, everything should be put into a blind trust. They shouldn't be able to manipulate any kind of stock trades. And then when they leave office, they shouldn't be able to cash in with a lobbyist position and go back and lobby their former colleagues and make millions more. And that's what we've got, some of our former congressmen here in Louisiana that are lobbyists making big money. So they become rich in office. They become richer when they turn into a lobbyist. Dave, the whole system's corrupt. It's
I know.
corrupt. I mean, we need to get rid of these stock trades that these members of Congress are doing. I personally am in favor of congressional term limits. I think that would one way to get these guys out of there. as opposed to them being there for decades. And again, that's Republicans and Democrats.
Yeah, I've been arguing for term limits for a long time. I've even gone to the extreme, excuse me for being extremist, but I'd like to see the elimination of all campaign donations from corporations and cap the amount of individual donations that can be done. Of course, they could always use the Act Blue strategy to get around that to some degree, but nonetheless, it would at least make it more difficult for them to buy elections but no one will even touch this stuff. And it's absolutely amazing. People say they're mad about Trump even talking about a third term, even though I think he was joking. They're mad about it. But I'm thinking, well, look at yourselves in Congress. Look at what you do. The more you're in office, longer you're in office, the more compromised you are, and the richer you are.
Exactly, 100%. And of course, the longer they stay up there, the more they forget their constituents. They forget the needs of the people in their district, and they start just following along with their donors and special interests and lobbyists and do their bidding. So if we had people that would just serve a limited amount of time, you could get more turnover, you could have fresher ideas, you wouldn't have as much corruption. I can't imagine the founders envisioned a system where we'd have people going to Washington, D.C. and staying for decades. I can't imagine that the founders thought that that would even be a possibility.
No, they did not. I want to bring up Bongino for a minute. Okay. He's a self-proclaimed bulldog. And I was very familiar with his podcast. Whenever I would drive cross country, I'd listen to him. And I thought he had a lot of really good things to say. And he struck me as a guy that I'd rather you shoot me in the head than I betray, my integrity. And now he's betraying his integrity with regard to the Epstein files, and he's defending Kash Patel and Pam Bondi. Are you surprised by this?
Well, I know he's getting a lot of heat. I am surprised. I mean, I'm surprised by, I'm not, well, I didn't really know what to think of Pam Bondi, but I was hoping for the best from Kash Patel and Dan Bongino, and I've been disappointed in all three of them. Bongino did say that they're going to start opening up again the cocaine found in the White House, the J6 bomber, the Supreme Court leak. So they're going to bring up some cases that were swept under the rug by the Biden administration, which is good, but his comments about the Epstein files were troubling, and then his comments about the attempted assassination of President Trump were troubling, because I think a lot of us believe that that's another story that we haven't been told the truth about. There's a lot more, in my opinion, Dave, to those two attempted assassinations than the public has been told.
Oh, there's no question.
I refuse to believe that those two individuals did all of this on their own.
They didn't.
I don't believe it. I don't care what Dan Bongino says or Kash Patel says. That, and of course, the president was talking about, more information about these attempted assassinations becoming available to the public, and I just haven't seen it.
No, but there's one rule about assassinations you can depend on. In fact, this was actually written in a document I once read. It's called The Latin American Guide to Assassinations, and it was written by the CIA in the 60s. And it said the way that you get to a leader is to compromise the security. And they said that's the tried and true way of doing it. And Doug Hagman, and I don't know if you're familiar with Doug, he's actually been banned from going into that area of Pennsylvania where the first attempt took place because he found a lot of details there that, let's put it this way, a lot of people were uncomfortable with revealing. And there's a lot going on. I do a weekly show with an ex DHS supervisor, and he told me that in their meetings, they said the way that they're going to take out a high profile figure assassins would, whether it be a president, foreign leader, ambassador, whatever, would be through mass casualty event and whoops, guy was wrong place, wrong time. And that's how they cover it. They didn't think they would ever try a JFK style hit again. Too many cameras, people are more aware now, less trusting of the government. And Doug Hagman uncovered in plot number one that exact scenario. So I'd be happy I put you in contact with him, although I know
Right, great.
he's been
I
in
mean,
bad health, but he got featured in the New York Post for a story, by the way.
really?
So I agree with you. There's a lot more to this than we're told.
And it's very frustrating because Obviously, I mean, the president's enemies were trying everything they could to stop him, from lawfare to an attempted assassination.
Yeah.
Now, I believe it was all connected with a greater plot to try to stop him from becoming president again. And I mean, they were a millimeter away from succeeding. I mean, that's how close that bullet came to hitting his head and ending his life and ending his campaign and ending our hopes for any kind of transparency and MAGA agenda. Because I mean, it really rests with him. So I am really determined that the American people get more information about these attempted assassinations. And the one in West Palm Beach, I have as many questions about that as I do in the one in Butler, Pennsylvania.
Well, that was compromised security. That man should never have been where he was at.
Right.
And again, it's a matter of paying the right person to look the wrong way. It's just like the missing guards in the Epstein case. It's
Right.
the same deal. And going back to Epstein for a second, here's a guy. He's the most high-profile prisoner in the United States, and he's not in a cell by himself fully, where he'd be totally protected. And he's not under 24/7, and maybe even eyewitness of observation of him. I mean, he warranted that kind of attention, and it didn't happen.
No, it didn't happen for a reason because obviously he was targeted. And that's what the American people believe. And I think they're right on. And again, another thing about that is his height. If you look at the bed, the bunk bed where he supposedly hung himself, when you look at the height involved in the way it was set up in there, it would have been extremely difficult for him to be able to arrange that in a way to hang himself. So that's another issue that Dr. Baden brought up. And again, I trust him more than I trust Bill Barr or somebody like Kash Patel, because I don't know. I just don't feel like they're giving us the full story, the correct story on that. And until
Well,
they release all the files, I think we're going to have plenty of questions.
I don't see this group releasing all the files. I might leave the guillotine out of the discussion, but it would take a French Revolution kind of purge, I think, to get to the bottom. I mean, you're literally looking at probably tens of thousands of people that would have to be prosecuted to stop this and rid our government of what's going on. I mean, Tulsi Gabbard declares Brennan, what you call him, a person of domestic terrorist interest or some such phrase. Okay, so why isn't he indicted? I mean, I'm looking at this and go, okay, you want to label these people, but then you do absolutely nothing. And it's highly frustrating. Do you think that Diddy's going to end up like Epstein?
That is a great question. I think there's certainly a possibility, and certainly I think we just have to see how this trial goes. Remember, Epstein didn't even get to trial. I mean, he was facing decades behind bars, but he didn't even get there. The only one convicted was Ghislaine Maxwell, and I think she was convicted for 20 years, a 20-year jail sentence. So I don't know. That's a good question about Diddy. We'll have to see where everything goes, but certainly I would think that there's a chance that something will happen to him because he has a lot of secrets as well, Dave.
Well, Obama came up in the trial. So I thought right there, I said, well, if he wasn't dead man walking, he might be now. And then I'm hearing that the Clintons are coming into this too. That at least that's the rumor that's out there. But to me, this is the silliest idea I've ever put forth. But if we're ever going to stop this, we need a movement, tossthemall.com, and we get rid of 95% of the Republicans in the primary. Don't elect the Democrats. That way, maybe you limit your rhino influence and you hit the
Right.
reset button and start over.
I love it. I mean, I think a bunch of people that have no experience, that are just regular people, could get up there and do a better job than these so-called experts, than these so-called leaders. Yeah, I'd like to see a total cleaning house of all of these, political, corrupt, quote unquote, elected officials. I'd love to see it. I'd love to see
Before
a clean.
we tell people how to follow you, I just wanted to pose this to you real quick. I think Bongino is a bulldog. And I think there's something very serious going on that's making him go along with this. And I look at his body language, and I used to teach body language when I was a professor in my psychology classes. And his body language says, I'm withdrawn, and my body language is inconsistent with my message. And I've seen that very clearly in that interview he did with Kash Patel and Fox News. And I'm just wondering, I got to think his family's been threatened, and I'll tell you why. If he said, I'm not going along with this crap, this is why I came here to serve, and I'm going to tell you exactly what I know, and he does the impromptu conference, right? And if his family's not under threat, he goes back to his podcast and his ratings would beat Joe Rogan.
Yeah. I mean, he left a very powerful perch there on his podcast, and I used to listen to it as well, and jumped into this position, obviously, because he thought he could serve the country and make things happen. And we were all excited about that. When I saw the video of his interview, I mean, it looked like a hostage video, right? I mean, it looked like they were uncomfortable.
Exactly.
It looked like there was a lot more that wasn't being told. They can say it, but I mean, there's just one thing to say it, another thing for the American people to believe it. And there's just too much here that just doesn't ring true. And then to hear about the assassination attempt of President Trump, that there's not what we think there is there, sort of implying that we're making too much of it. But all of this now leads to him saying, well, we're going to reopen the cocaine investigation, the Supreme Court leak, and the one of the issues I've been talking about for years, the J6 bombers or bomber.
Yes.
So we'll hopefully get some more disclosure on those issues, Dave.
A lot of that is lower hanging fruit than what we're talking about, though.
Right.
I mean, you remember Bongino, after the first assassination attempt on Trump, he's calling out Secret Service leaders for being purposefully complicit.
Right.
He basically sounded like he was resurfacing the Kennedy assassination investigation and that role. And I'm thinking, oh my, this is the perfect guy to have in government. I wished he would have been made the head of the Secret Service, but I think they put him in there to control him.
Well, I'm still wondering how many shooters there were on July 13th in Butler, Pennsylvania.
Hey, Lee
Do you
Harvey
believe
Crooks,
that the
Jeff Lee
Crooks
Harvey
took?
Crooks couldn't even make his JV rifle team.
Right,
That's a
right.
fact. He didn't fire that shot that came a quarter of a millimeter from killing Trump.
Yeah.
That did not happen. I'm
So.
pretty, and I don't know if you knew this or not. BlackRock was the principal manager of a capital firm in Austin, and I think it was Austin Capital, but don't quote me on that unless I have my notes in front of me. And they bet that True Social was going to dive the Monday after the assassination attempt. It was very
Wow.
suspicious. It was very suspicious money movement. And I
Boy.
covered that. And then, of course, then Crooks ended up being in a BlackRock commercial ahead of time. And
Right.
I mean, like, again, how many coincidences do you accept? Do you say, are you a conspiracy or a coincidence theorist? So,
And
hey,
he was
Jeff.
on the roof. He was on the roof of the building closest where the president was.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's just one thing after another. And he was allowed to fly a drone up there, and they didn't even have drones. Their drones were not working. I mean, come on. It's just, it's just a
Well, they
one.
put DHS agents to protect him with no training.
Exactly.
I mean, I could go on. And the thing, he's on the roof, and the sniper said, well, I had him in my sights, but I didn't have permission to fire. Wait a minute. Guy's pointing a gun at a former president, and you're not going to fire?
Right.
You need permission to fire? Then obviously your system screwed up. Jeff, been a fascinating interview here, and I've heard so many good things about you and your show. Would you tell everybody how they can follow your good work? I know you've written some books and you're everywhere, so point people to the key points where they can follow you.
Well, Dave, let me just thank you for having me. It's been a real pleasure. So, best way for people to sort of learn about what I'm doing with the different shows and columns and videos would be just my website, which is my last name, crewear.net, CRUERE.net. And they can sign up for our newsletter and contact me there through the website and learn about everything going on. So, that's where I direct your good folks to go.
Yeah, fantastic stuff. Hey, keep up the good work, my friend. We need more people like you broadcasting out of mainstream media sites. Actually, too, I'll tell you, we are the mainstream media. I don't know if you saw the Fox MSNBC ratings for the first quarter. They're in the toilet.
Oh, wow. Okay,
They
good.
are in. Well, listen,
Good.
I promise you, in every venue you have, you're probably outdrawing Fox.
Yeah.
They had
Well,
3 million unique viewers in the first 3 months, 3.5 million. And CNN had 570,000.
wow.
Yeah, I was going through this with the news guy. He's reading to me the results, and I'm thinking, my gosh, I
Yeah.
outdraw them on three of my venues that I have. And I'm just thinking, this is incredible. So we have shifted the balance of coverage. Now we just need to make sure that we have influence to get this crap straightened out.
Amen. Amen. It's happening, Dave. It's happening.
I think so. Well, thanks for being with us, Jeff, and hopefully you'll agree to come back on another time. It's been a fascinating interview.
I'd love to. Thank
Take
you.
care. The Democrats have a clear battle plan, and they demand lockstep obedience. And when you deviate, okay, like Chuck Schumer did, right, on passing the emergency budget bill, man, they wanted him gone. And you look at Fetterman, and he says Trump has some good ideas on some. Oh, they want him gone. They demand locking elbows, lockstep, no deviation at all. It's very much Stalinistic Mao in terms of compliance. You get no dissent. And they're just amazing. They have the ability to coalesce from a small minority group. They're not 50%, they're not even close. And yet they can coalesce into what appears to be a huge movement and overwhelm the system. They just have to occupy a few key points in the production process. One of them is the mainstream media. Other is huge corporations that can keep them infused with cash. And we're looking at a minority of people overthrowing this government. And Donald Trump interrupted the process after Obama with his 4 years. And now we're taking a look at the fact that he's now trying to undo a worse damage that was done under Biden's administration, not Biden, his administration. And he's got a bigger uphill battle than we thought. And now they have these judges firmly in place that are trying to disrupt any type of reestablishment of traditional American values following the Constitution. There is no question that this is going on. And I've been demonstrating the battle plan, and we're looking at the guiding principles that have motivated Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, the Biden administration, and the general left. I showed you earlier today, going back 9 years, something called the Democratic Socialist Party that over 70 people in Congress at that time were members of, and its linkage into the American Communist Party. Prominent names. This is a battle plan to take over America. The Civil War is here. It's a non-shooting civil war for the most part. I hope it stays that way. But if the Democrats feel they're losing, I don't think there's anything that they won't do to regain power. We're brought to you by the NanoSoma products, the spray. Explaining this to a nursing friend of mine yesterday. I said, this is how I overcame by boosting my immune system because this doesn't cure anything. But I said, I couldn't walk up a flight of stairs, lung lining strip from RSV. Nothing was working. I was off all medicines. This was it. Then when I was working out in the gym, reestablishing who I am, Metasoma gel from NanoSoma. The NanoSoma gel, this is fantastic. Rub it on sore area, bone on bone. I've overcome that. The pluripotent stem cell production. And then the vanity cream. Love this. What do I get out of this? Maybe a little more youthful appearance. Good for cuts and abrasions. These three together are the starter pack. 15% off for these great products. Tell you, I owe my life to these two products right here, a little bit of vanity right here. Take advantage of it right now. Go to iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. Well, we are going to go through and explore here. And let me go full screen here. Interesting, we came up on the ad there. That was coincidental, but appropriate. This is from an article that I actually wrote this in two different parts. an old version, a more modern version. Today you're getting the update and I'm showing you how these strategies apply to today. 2016, 2019, and now today. These strategies haven't gone away. It's the battle cry and the battle plan of the left to take down America. So right here, America, whether you realize it or not, the Civil War has begun. The only question is how many people are going to die. I hope this stays nonviolent. I hope. In 1944, Norman Thomas predicted that today's Democratic Party would eventually support socialism. And he was the presidential candidate for the Socialist Party. Why was he ever right? Do you see why I started off today showing you 70 members of Congress and their affiliations? All socialist. Supporting communism over America, supporting Fidel Castro over the existing president, if it wasn't a Democrat. The American people will never knowingly adopt socialism, but under the name of liberalism, they will adopt every fragment of the Socialist Party. So incrementalism and gradualism are two approaches they use for this reason. America will be a socialist nation without knowing how it happened. I no longer need to run for the Socialist Party of America. The Democratic Party has adopted our platform. Okay, now Norman Thomas was the modern day predecessor to the feature of what we're going to talk about right here. Saul David Alinsky, who ultimately became a committed communist. Alinsky wrote two books, by the way, he was a professor in the Ivy League. He wrote two books called Rules for Radicals and Revival for Radicals. These books became the guiding light for today's Democratic Party. In fact, one cannot fully comprehend the Democratic philosophy without considering Rules for Radicals. The Alinsky book produced such Democratic radicals as Bill Ayers, who started Obama's career, he and his father, Tom Ayers, Barack Obama, and Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton's college thesis and her master's work was based on Alinsky's work. She wrote him a note of gratitude and dedicated her thesis to him. Okay, now, there's one quote from Alinsky, which he defined how to penetrate the American political system and take over. True revolutionaries don't flaunt their radicalism. They cut their hair, they put on suits, and they infiltrate the system from within. It's exactly what we see in Congress. Now, you're saying, well, Dave, what about Antifa? That fits a different part of the rules for radicals. You have to have your subversive troops, your shock troops, your fifth column. But the ones who are coming in, they're going to be the decision makers, take over, undermine the system, hail Hydra. They are in the system. Hillary went to an American law school. Obama went to an American law school. By the way, do you know who his Soviet studies professor was? Brzezinski, co-founder of the Trilateral Commission with David Rockefeller. These aren't accidents, people. Alinsky taught Democratic radicals to penetrate existing institutions such as churches. Look how our churches have become perverted, how they're turning the gospel upside down, right side up. Get into unions, political parties. They went too far with the unions in the last election when they wrecked the economy. The union people said, our jobs are overseas. We need someone who's going to help us. Donald Trump said, here I am. It's one of the reasons Trump got elected. These communists slowly but surely gained more power. This power enabled Alinsky's philosophy, slow and patient process. Where did we hear this before? Slow and patient. China, 100-year plans. We do things with the next quarter. The next 3 months are the most important. China does things for the next generation and generations after that. That was Alinsky's approach. Okay, he has 13 rules for radicals with his advice that political activism cannot be self-serving. People cannot be free unless they're willing to sacrifice some of their interests to guarantee the freedom of others. And along those lines, there'll be collateral damage, meaning, challenges and death. The price of democracy is the ongoing pursuit of the common good, the common good. Whenever you see that phrase, it's in the greater good or the common good. It's a euphemism for it's in the communist good. And listen, I'm teaching a class here. And what I'm telling you is this is the second part of the battle plan that's enslaving us and we're losing. And it's even threatening to overwhelm the present administration because DOGE got done away with. We'll talk about that later. Power is not only what you have, but what the enemy thinks you have. Let me give you an example. When Bernie Sanders trying to promote AOC to become a presidential candidate without saying it, and they're going out to all these speaking tour, the oligarchy speaking tour, Trump is serving the billionaires. That's all BS, but nonetheless, you know how they got the big crowds? They'd show up where there was a concert. They would get big money to pay their way to have 10 minutes with a concert with maybe 10, 20,000 people there, that ordinarily 200 of them wouldn't show up to see these people, but they got to horn in on existing crowds. And so they created what appeared to be a power base that's non-existent. They pay protesters and bus them in. Same concept. Okay, number two, never go outside the expertise of your people. It results in confusion, fear, and retreat. In other words, we need to stick to what we know and have the same repetitive phrases. Feeling secure adds to the backbone of anyone. This is really important. It's an identity. You notice the Democratic plan is very simple. If that was a football team, they'd never throw the football. They'd never run trick plays. It'd be 3 yards in a cloud of dust. Stick to what you know, you know. Whenever possible, on number three, go outside the expertise of the enemy. Look for ways to increase insecurity. We have that right now. Anxiety, uncertainty. This is why the Democrats are determined to admit TDA, MS-13, and ISIS and all these other groups to our country. It adds to insecurity. They love it. They promote it. They protect it. Yeah, this is really interesting, and Donald Trump has learned this all too well. Make the enemy live up to its own book of rules. If the rule that every letter gets a reply, send 30,000 letters. You can kill them with this because no one can possibly obey their own rules. Are we not, as flawed human beings, inconsistent despite our best efforts? You don't believe me? Ask your kids. I'll never be like that. You say one thing and do another. And most parents have heard this. It's because we're not perfect. And they jump on that. Boy, if Trump had ever done something, before he was political, we're going to use that against him ad nauseum. Now, this really is a hallmark win right here. This really gives you a poster child look at the Democratic Party. Ridicule is man's most potent weapon. You pass the big, beautiful bill. You give a 15% tax decrease to people making $80,000 or less. This is in the bill summary. Everyone signed on to that that passed it. Guess what? They're saying, no, they raised money on the raised taxes on the middle class. They're giving the tax breaks to the wealthy. No, they're not. No, they're not. But this is the ridicule. There's no defense. They're irrational. It's infuriating. And it works as a key pressure point to force the enemy into concessions. This explains the CNN mantra of Trump derangement syndrome, that Trump is this, he's that, he's inconsistent, he says this and does that. And I'm going to give you the prime example. We can have 40 million illegal aliens walking our streets. Most are harmless. We can have, I don't know, what is it, 370,000 convicted criminals in our country, they're illegal aliens. Those are the stats from the government. Okay, well, yeah, that's good. We need to have that. And judges and all these other groups are going to work to make sure they stay here, no matter how much of a danger they are to the public. But if we bring in 59 pastors that are afraid of genocide in South Africa, we can't have that. Trump is inconsistent. He only cares about white people. Do you see how they use this? Perfect example. Okay, number six. A good tactic is one in which your people enjoy. They like throwing Molotov cocktails at DHS people in 2020 in Portland. My broadcast partner, Doug Thornton, was part of this. He was a victim of this. Yes, let them do it. Put people where they want to serve because they'll do the most good of undermining the system. Okay? Right there. Radicalism, Antifa. 2020. We're going to see a lot of that this summer. Number seven, a tactic that drags on too long becomes a drag. Don't become old news. So I got to give the Democrats credit. They're always reinventing the issues. They go from one issue to the other. They'll take something that the Republicans have done that's good, and they'll lie about it and try to turn it into something bad. And then when the Republicans are busy defending themselves and they're on the defensive and losing, now we'll move on to the next thing and overwhelm them. Keep the pressure on. Never let up. Keep trying new things to keep the opposition off balance. I just described one of those. As the opposition masters one approach, hit them from the flank with something new. This is why the foundations of our Christian culture are under attack. The threat is more terrifying than the thing itself. Whoops. Imagination and ego can dream up many more consequences than any activist. For Hillary, she employed this a lot when she ran for president. The mere threat of Antifa violence, she said, would keep people off balance. Interesting. And it's really the modern day brown shirts, if you look at history and enter George Soros, and okay, you know what you got. Okay, number 10. The major premise of these tactics for development of operations that will maintain a constant pressure upon the opposition is the unceasing pressure that results in the reactions from the opposition that are essential for success of the campaign. They try to bait the other side into saying something inappropriate, and then they seize it. And you ever notice too that you go from CNN, all their broadcasters, MSNBC, all their broadcasters, all these other, and they always say the same thing. The same word gets repeated. The same phrase is repeated. This is what they're talking about here. If you push a negative hard enough, it'll push through and become a positive. This is not new. This is right out of the Communist Party and Goebbels, right? Tell a big enough lie often enough, the people will come to believe it. Violence from the other side can win the public to your side. So if they start riots this summer, for example, and the authorities respond appropriately with tear gas and clubs and doing what they can do to protect the public and stop the fires and all that, they're going to be the bad guys. Look at how they're picking on normal protesters. Isn't this terrible? The price of a successful attack is a constructive alternative. Never let the enemy score points because you're caught with the solution to the problem. This is why Trump can never be allowed to complete the wall. And I'm looking for some extreme things to happen to stop that from happening. Number 13, pick the target, freeze it, personalize it, polarize it. In this approach, they don't criticize institutions nearly as much as they make the person the target. Attack the person. And these are some of the people I talked about earlier. I thought it was worth repeating in this article. This is their battle plan. Now, there's a counter. Constitution and Christ, and not in that order. You need to be consistent in what we say. You cannot get drawn into their battles. Sometimes you just have to let the insults roll off of you. But here's the deal. They have the mainstream media, but our side outnumbers the draw of the mainstream media. So we have to do our job. Now, do you want to help us do our job? Tell a big enough lie often enough, it becomes the truth, right? That's their mantra. Our mantra is tell the truth often enough, and it becomes our reality. You can help by sharing these kinds of articles, these kinds of videos. This is how you upset the balance of tell a big enough lie often enough, and it becomes reality. Call Trump a Putin ally long enough, people come to believe it. Hey, works for Putin. We got a traitor in the White House. Instead, we counter with our facts. You don't have to write, you don't have to do a video, but you can reproduce and send out things that counter this narrative from the left. This is the thing they fear. This is what's behind censorship. They don't want their voice drowned out. They don't want the people to know this isn't the only way to look at it. The impetus falls to you, the individual. Are you willing to step up? If you are, we might be able to save our country. If you're not, better get used to the word, yes, Commissar.